Hi, this is Mike Morin, and this is Reset, 40 is the New Happy, a podcast that celebrates people who, because they have dreams and faith in themselves, have left secure careers to create happiness in their own businesses. Today, you'll meet Carl Soderberg and Mike Frizzell. They're co-founders of Abel Ebenezer Brewing Company in Merrimack. Doors opened last summer as a team of former U.S. officers. These two guys are now living their dreams as brewers and businessmen. And I guess I have to, in full disclosure, say that even though this is called 40 is the New Happy, neither of these guys are anywhere near that. But because it's a podcast and I own it, I can break the rules once in a while and have people on that are younger because everything else fits. Carl, let me start with you. Every new product needs strong branding, and yours leans on the pine tree and an 18th century New Hampshire businessman who stood up to the British who came to take his trees away. So briefly share the story of Ebenezer Mudgett.
Sure. Ebenezer Mudgett, like you said, he was a local business owner from right outside of Manchester, and his biggest business was he was a logger and a mill owner, and timber was the oil of the day. So it was New Hampshire's most valuable natural resource. But during the 1700s, England had completely deforested their entire continent, so they started passing laws in New England, specifically New Hampshire, one of which was called the Pine Tree Law, and it forbid any logger or mill owner to cut down and process a tall white pine tree that was greater than 12 inches in diameter, because they officially, once they grew to that width, became property of the king, specifically to be used for ships building and ships masts. So when a warrant was issued for the arrest of Ebenezer in 1772, he had been cutting down hundreds of illegal trees and continued processing them and selling them to fellow colonists. When they came out to arrest him, he rallied local citizens and started the Pine Tree Riot. It was one of the first events that, I guess, pushed back against the British, and it started a domino effect that kind of led up to the American Revolution. It's a cool story.
Yeah, whatever led you to even find out about this guy?
I read a lot of history. That kind of started back in the Army. At Officer Candidate School, they do a lot of military history training, and they go in depth into a lot of the stories that they don't teach you in school, and it's really taught from a tactical standpoint and how those stories and events kind of shaped different wars and campaigns. So just starting with that, I ended up just starting to read and dig and try to find as many stories as I could. Because based on what I was taught in school, you would just think that a bunch of people threw tea in the Boston Harbor, and then that started the American Revolution. But there were dozens of events that led up to it, and one of the first was up here in New Hampshire with the Pine Tree Riot.
All right, that was Carl. Mark Frizzell, I mean, that's a great story, and I'm sensing that it reflects your company's attitude about freedom and self-expression.
Yeah, absolutely it does. It's, you know, we're big proponents of not just telling someone something, but if you can incorporate any type of message into a story, I think people always have a better response to it. And I don't know, it just makes it that much more exciting if there's some type of narrative.
All right, so on another level, I'm guessing that you and Carl, as former officers in the Army, feel a certain connection to Ebenezer Mudge.
I think so. I think anyone who really steps out of their comfort zone to do something that they think is the right thing to do, you know, feels that way. So I think it really just resonates with anyone who feels that way about anything, you know, in their life.
Carl, back to you for a moment. After you left the service, you worked in biopharmaceutical manufacturing. So was it about working for somebody else that didn't fulfill your soul or just the general business that you were in?
I guess it was a combination of both. I knew that one day I wanted to be a business owner. I mean, my father was a small business owner for as long as I can remember. And it's something that I really respect, people who work very hard to live life on their terms. And it was something I wanted to do. It just came down to finding that one thing that I was passionate about and I thought I could do better than everybody else. And beer just kind of took a hold of me, and it started as a weekend hobby and quickly took over my life. And it's just kind of gone from there.
Do you remember the moment that it struck you that I'm out of here and I have to do this? Was it scary, exhilarating, or both?
It was exhilarating. I wouldn't really say it was scary. I just the moment that it all came together. I mean, it started as fragments of an idea where I knew I kind of wanted to do something in the beer industry. But once I had an idea for a name and a backstory and had reconnected with Mike back in 2013, and we both kind of had a similar idea, once all the pieces and the, I guess, the general outline of what the business concept would be, it was just, it was excitement. Very excited.
All right, so let me ask you, Mike. You left California, where where you worked in, I think, marketing. And did you put everything? I think I read that you put everything that you could fit in your car, and you moved to New Hampshire. How did you get talked into driving 3,000 miles with no real certain future?
I guess that's always a scary part when people do something like that. It's because they have a really nice job lined up and a nice salary, and there's a justification for it. But when I was back in California before I moved out here, and we were talking about the brewery from across the country, it was just really exciting, and it became an obsession almost. But it was a good kind of passion, and so I thought it was worth it.
So you mentioned a good salary and a nice life, but was there perhaps something lacking in your soul, your heart, your passion for life?
Yeah, when I was working at a marketing company, it was great, but I wasn't fulfilled trying to, justify my worth on a spreadsheet all the time. And, I have no problem working long hours, but it feels like you're not really reaping those benefits. So I think when you own your own business, all that time that you put into it, you can really see the benefits of it. And you feel like you're actually building something, you're creating something, as opposed to just kind of going through the motions of something else.
So what you're saying is you are fulfilled now?
Yes, absolutely. No regrets.
Carl, talk to me about the financing part of it, and I don't recall if you had any bankers involved, or basically you just took everything except the clothes off your back and put it in a pile and plowed it into Abel Ebenezer.
It was a little bit of both. We did. The brewing business is a very expensive one to start up, and it chews through a lot of cash to keep producing product. But we did leverage just about as much cash as we could. Pretty much every asset that Mike and I own is leveraged into this company. But because we were showing financial institutions that we were willing to do that, I believe that they ended up believing in us. We only got told no twice when we submitted our business plan to local banks, which I feel pretty good about because I thought it was going to be a year-long process of back and forth. But that third meeting, we sealed a deal because they saw something in us, and they saw that this brewery was going to happen. It just came down to who was coming along for the ride.
So after 1 year, you have a pretty decent footprint of restaurants and nightclubs or whatever that carry Abel Ebenezer products. Is a lot of that because you've actually gone out, you pounded the pavement, you shook hands, and you have established a personal connection with the people that are making those decisions?
Yes, it's exactly what it is. When we started, we definitely got told no way more than we got told yes. And it can be a challenge. I mean, we're a self-distributing brewery, which is kind of rare. Most states actually don't even allow for self-distribution. So we keep all of our product here cold, and we deliver it directly to the restaurants. But being able to work directly with the restaurant owners and general managers and servers and wait staff, it does add a special relationship between us and them. I think it makes for a better business relationship. And I think that's probably the biggest reason why when we do get on tap at establishments, we don't typically go off tap. A number of the restaurants that we're on tap at, we're the number one selling beer. We're currently expanding to a number of restaurant groups that are in New Hampshire, and chain restaurants are starting to pick us up. And recently like we talked about before we came on the show, our production is now, we're trying to get production to catch up with sales, and we're starting to wait list restaurants. We're up to almost 50 now that we do business with, and we've been open for just over a year. So it's come quite a ways.
Mike, this relationship is, well, really in many ways like a marriage. You spend probably more time with each other than anybody else in your lives right now. How did you two meet, and how has the relationship perhaps grown? And also, what did you guys learn from being in the military and that culture that perhaps you can apply to this?
Oh, man. Well, So Carl and I were both Army officers, both 1st Armored Division stationed in El Paso. So there's a lot of mutual friends there that, you know, we know each other through. So the officer community in particular is, I guess, more narrowed. So you meet a lot of different people that way. But for us, yeah, it does feel like we're married. You know, if there's like finances and things like that, it's kind of like, hey, I spent money on this and I didn't run it by you, but now it's in here and things like that. So, but you know, it's great. It's all for the company. So as long as the mutual goal there, then yes, it's not a problem.
And what about lessons learned in a militaristic type of situation, which you both were involved with for many years?
I don't know. I think something about the military that a lot of people get wrong is that you're trained to know how to do everything and you're not. So for us, it's really learning about, you know, how to think quickly on your feet and just solve problems. And you're not always going to have the answers, but I think the military, above anything, instills this confidence that you can figure out whatever the situation is. And even if you don't, you know, exactly know what the answer is at that moment. So
you could make it up.
Right, exactly.
Yep. Final question to you, Carl. A lot of people, I'm thinking, are just sitting on the fence with a dream, an idea, a vision, but they just can't do it. What advice would you give somebody who might be in that position to start a new business?
Well, I guess it kind of goes back to what Mike was just talking about with the military. I mean, the military, especially as young officers, I mean, you get commissioned at 21, 22 years old, and you put you in charge of 30 to 50 soldiers, and basically you just have to drink from the fire hose and figure it out. And it is kind of a survival of the fittest type environment. That's the same thing with, I guess, entrepreneurship. And there's always going to be a million reasons not to do something. But if you really believe in yourself and your idea and you trust yourself, you find yourself, I guess, a little – you're not as intimidated by the unknowns. You know that when the unknowns come up, you'll figure them out. You'll find a way. And as long as you commit to yourself that – you know, doesn't matter how many obstacles come up. I mean, during the building of this brewery, we've came across dozens of obstacles that we could have easily said, all right, this probably shouldn't do this anymore. But we buckled down and just figured it out.
Carl Soderberg, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike Frizzell.
Thank you.
And I should mention that the Able Room is here where you can actually sample their many craft brew products on premise. And the name of the company is Able Ebenezer Brewing Company in Merrimack on Columbia Circle. Carl Soderberg and Mike Frizzell are the co-founders, and after a year, it's tough keeping up with the demand, and that's a good problem to have. I'm Mike Moore, and thanks for listening to Reset. 40 is the new happy, and sometimes so is 30.
Cool. We're doing time.